Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of McMillan and Morrow. I'm Dr. Sean McMillan. This is my co-host, Rich the Morrow. You like that? The Morrow.
The Morrow.
Not tomorrow. The Morrow. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. It's going to be a great, great episode, as is often the case with us.
Absolutely.
Interesting stories, people doing amazing and sometimes not so amazing things. And we give you our take, and we, it goes where it goes.
It go where it goes.
Where the spirit leads us, people. You know? That's what happens when you're anointed.
On this good morrow.
Okay. Let's start. This is gonna be fiery, I can tell. Right. Anyways, sit down, take your shoes off, enjoy yourself, and let's get started. Rich, what are we doing?
Ain't it a blessing? We on our 45th episode, by the way. I'm just going to keep on reminding you.
You keep track of this.
It's a blessing. I mean, 45 episodes sitting with you, talking about this nonsense. All right, you ready? So, we going to Finland. You ever been to Finland?
No.
Okay.
A lot of white folks. White folks, we love you, just so we're clear.
Just an observation.
I'm just saying. It's just
according
true.
To the Daily Mail, there is a prankster who left a 26-pound dynamite in a friend's car as a joke, and he's now being charged and sentenced to 2 years in prison.
That's his friend?
Yes. And the friend apparently was the one who detained him after the incident, too.
I'd have beat his ass. I'm just
You're not allowed to cuss. That go to swear jar.
Ass is not, let me not say it.
Ass is okay.
It's okay.
That's not considered. So they're not gonna bleep that out.
No.
It's what you say.
The S word. Yeah, you go crazy.
Anyway, I don't even notice I do it.
Back to the, yeah, I know. That's how you know it's habitual. When you don't notice it, it's habitual.
That's how you know I'm telling the truth.
That's how you know you're pathological.
No, my mom told me I cuss.
I love your
that's
mom.
That's how you know.
I love your mom. Love your mom. By the way, your mom's one of the sweetest people in the world.
This was 20 years ago.
But on this.
Yeah.
She was not right.
Okay.
So anyway, your story is about, or the story is about, a friend put dynamite in somebody's car, and the friend held the guy.
And so called he could the police.
Could we just all applaud for the friend that held the guy? This is evidence. This is in Finland?
Yeah.
Shout out to the white folks. This is evidence that people are thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they said that he literally claimed it was a joke. The police had to take it seriously, obviously, and a bomb squad was called out, and everybody had to evacuate their houses and buildings nearby. And yeah, they recovered their detonator.
That's not funny.
It's not funny at all.
No. I'm not a fan of practical jokes. So if you do a practical joke on me, we're probably going to end our friendship.
And you know what's crazy about that? Because of the nature of it, they automatically have to treat it as if it could be an act of terrorism.
It's dynamite!
Yeah, so they're looking at it for, like, terrorism, you know, reasons, and then they had to rule that out first. And then, you know, you got this friend who's telling, you know, you that it's a joke, and now he's about to go to prison.
That's where he should go. It's not like he put noodles in the car.
Exactly.
You know, or, I don't know, a snake. Although, if you put a snake in my car, I'm punching you in the eye.
Yeah. Or, they might do that in Louisiana or something.
But dynamite, that's not
that's
funny.
That's next level.
Yes, you can't.
I was about to make a bad joke, and it would have been so messed
but
up.
But let me
I'm
ask
so
you this. What kind of friend thinks it's funny to expose you to potential danger?
That's like beyond danger. That's like, you could potentially blow me up.
Was it lit?
There were detonators.
So this was a bomb.
It was dynamite.
Straight up bomb.
This was a
dynamite.
Bomb. Okay, let me rephrase the point. I thought it was just sticks of dynamite.
That's what it says, but technically it says detonator.
It was a bomb.
So it had to be a bomb.
Okay, let's start over. What kind of friend puts you in harm's way by using a bomb and somehow finding that funny?
That's to the 10th degree.
That's not your friend. People, look at me. I'm looking at this camera right here. Don't change it. If you are around people who consistently put you in danger, they are not your friends. Nobody's going to say anything?
Family, too.
I can't get a cosign?
I can cosign that.
Aaron, you ain't going to say nothing, huh?
Preach.
Thank you.
I'm from Cleveland. I've been put in all kinds of situations by people that I never thought
not
I
not your friend. Not but your family.
It's been family at times too.
Not your family.
Not your family.
We got the same blood and the same last name, yeah. But we do not have the same intentions. We don't live by the same principles.
Man.
No. I don't give a damn what your last name is. I don't care how long I've known you. We could have been in school from the second grade to the 11th grade. If you consistently put me in danger,
gotta go.
You are not my friend.
Yeah.
Friends don't do that.
At some point, you got to wake up to that being the case. You know, a lot of people are blind to that, though. And you see people with friendships, and this is a little bit off topic, but so, for instance, like what you just said, my mom, she has a best friend of hers, and I don't even know if I have permission to talk about this, but she's had a friend, you know, for most of her life, her whole life, and just recently she had a revelation that she felt like this person may not feel the same about her, and she's 50-something, mm-hmm. and I was like, damn, and started to, you know, reminisce on the many moments that she felt, you know, were missed and things like that over the years that she didn't catch in real time, and it made me kind of dawn on the fact, like, damn, like, you really can reserve spaces in people's lives or in your life a lot longer for people than they deserve solely because they've been there for as long as they have.
Yeah.
And it's like a grandfather.
Familiarity
mm-hmm.
is seductive.
Yeah.
The familiar will seduce you into thinking that because you know it for so long, it must be good. But the reality is a strange thing can still bless you.
And you could be just hurting yourself all along the whole time. And that's one of them things I got woken up to.
I'm a philosophical pragmatist. And a part of what that means is I judge the validity of almost everything by its consequences.
I wish you told me that earlier in our relationship. It would have made a lot more sense. Because you have definitely checked the validity of everything that we've ever.
Okay, I was on my way to somewhere.
You were, but that's just crazy. You just connected two dots in our relationship by saying that because you've never said that to me before.
Okay.
And that just made a lot of
sense.
Can
we come back to that?
Yeah, let's go back.
All right, because your mom.
That was good.
Your mom is my focus right now.
Let's go.
Because I love what she did.
Okay.
And that is to say, so I judge the validity of almost anything by its consequences. Not by your intentions. Okay. You can mean well.
Mm-hmm.
It can even feel good. But what are the consequences of dealing with you, being around you, or going through a situation with you?
Yeah.
And what your mom has done is she's practiced philosophical pragmatism.
Mm-hmm.
She's looked at the content of the consequences and made a decision based upon verifiable information.
Yep.
Not feelings, not the movie in her head, not her insecurities, not what she wished the person would be.
The facts.
She said, wait a minute now.
This ain't adding up like I thought this it was.
This keeps turning out a certain way.
Yeah, it's coming up short.
Yeah. And God bless all the people in the world and certainly the ones watching who get to the place where you're able to say, you know what? Love you to death, but I love myself more. Huh?
That's the place we got to be.
I completely enjoy being around you, but I honor myself more.
Yeah.
And being around you is like somebody putting a bomb in my car.
A bomb in my car.
it's like somebody putting a damn bomb in my car.
And saying it was a joke.
And saying it was a joke.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Putting my life
people.
In danger is not funny. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you think it is, there's something wrong with you.
And it starts off small, I feel like, too. You know, those friends that make the jokes that, you know, they pass off as jokes, but they might say something, you know, and laugh about it and expect you to laugh along too and continue to do that around other people. You ever had them kind of people that, you know, have acted one way behind closed doors around you and then get around other people? And Aaron probably can relate to this a little bit more.
Far more than me.
Got to be the funniest person in the room and, you know, got the kind of, you know, dry humor jokes, you know, about you, kind of like a little subliminal jabs that you never really pay attention to. There's a lot of people that do that.
Aaron, I want to hear your thoughts about this in 1 second, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But let me answer this question, then I want to hear yours. Let me tell you what I do to people like that.
Mr. New Yorker, yeah. Let's hear what a New Yorker would do.
I'm not passive aggressive.
Oh, yeah. And that's what that is.
You say something about me
mm-hmm.
that I don't like in public, and we're going to have a moment.
In front of everybody.
I'm going to say this to you. What did you just say? Because if I do that, then I've deduced in my mind, I'm willing to go all the way.
Yeah, right there.
And I hope you are too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I'm going to fight you,
because
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
But you definitely gonna check
her. Oh, but we verbally?
It's gonna be a moment.
You gonna wish you didn't speak English.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Why is it that black people always make people repeat what they said when they get upset? That's just like what's
up. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't know where that came from.
That's a total black thing. We always say,
no other race do that, but what you just say?
What'd you just say? I don't know what it is. Aaron, but have you experienced what he's talking about?
I haven't. I mean, just definitely many times just growing up, I guess.
And that was when I did the most. Like, as you get older, people don't tend to do it as much. You do see it still, especially in entertainment, because you deal with so many type of people. But growing up, that was one of the things that I started to realize. And sometimes it wasn't even always just happening to me. I would see people do it to other people that were in our friend circle and stuff like that. And I'm like, why do they be, I can't say the S word, S-N-O them, you know, whenever we get around other people? And I didn't understand it. And I'm like, it feels like an insecurity thing. But at the same time, it was like, you can't really be his friend if that's, or her friend, if that's how you behave when other people are around. That don't make no sense to me. And that was when
I started. Well, that's not friendship.
Yeah.
It's not, and it's not always, it's not always insecurity. Sometimes people are selfish and they need the attention.
Yeah.
And so there are many reasons why that might be the case. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can only feel good as long as somebody else feels horrible around
them. And that is crazy.
And that may be because of how they were raised or their own trauma, issues and trauma, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In the moment, if it's directed to you or to me, you have a responsibility to yourself.
To respect yourself.
To say, you're not my friend.
Yeah.
Now, you can be many things, right? Associate, constituent, all that. But you ain't my friend.
Yeah.
And more people need to have the ability to deduce whether or not people are good for them. And that deduction or that determination is made not based upon what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's based upon whether or not you go to your car and there's a bomb in there. And the person who put the damn bomb in the car claims to be your friend
because
they thought it was funny. I'm using it as a metaphor, absolutely, right?
But it happens to be a real...
It's a consequence, all right? I tell you, so listen.
Yeah.
You don't know, let me not get started.
Has anybody ever played a prank on you?
What do you think?
Any good ones?
What do you think?
No, people scared too.
I don't emote the kind of personality
that look like you want to be pranked or would take it well at all.
Yeah, I know. Nobody playing no prank on me. Like, what are you doing? No. And again,
duly noted.
And just to be clear, I'm not a violent person. I like, if you play a prank on me, I'm gonna beat the hell out of you.
You a New Yorker, that's all.
Yeah, I just, we probably will cease.
Yeah. Our relationship.
Because in my mind is, I can't trust you.
Yeah, because you playing too much.
You're playing too much. I'm a serious man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You play. And this is, you can go on too far.
You feel like, you sounded like the perfect candidate to get pranked.
go on and try to see what happens.
I'm not saying by me. It'll I'm just saying.
McMillan.
Somebody in your life might hear this.
And Mitchell. Pete McMillan and Mitchell back there.
Not Mitchell. Damn, you gonna replace me with a white guy?
I'll let you come back because I love you. You know what I'm saying? But for a week or two, it'll be Mitchell.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. So on that note, we gonna go to our first break today.
No break already?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Don't do a break, people. All right, everybody, welcome back.
And speaking of pranks, got a video for you I think you might like. But that's a big mic because you don't like no videos.
That's an indictment.
Yeah, what is he talking about, people?
You've liked probably 15% of our videos.
We're getting better.
All right, 15%. Well, that's a fair statement.
That's all I'm saying.
But like, your language was off. So you should have said, I've not liked any of the videos on this show.
On this show. Well, there we know you like videos, TikToker.
Well, I'm just saying, when you got to be clear with your sentences.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right, so.
You ready for this video?
Let's go with this, whatever this is. This looks strange already.
Hello? 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 Let me out! Where the f*** are we? Hello? Hello? Let me out! I'm dying in here.
you think? You want to go into the questions?
Yeah, let's go to the next.
You ain't got nothing to say about the
beat. I mean, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, don't. I don't know if it depends on who died.
Yeah. It depends, like I said. You could tell the kind of person he probably was, though. Everybody was laughing, so I'm sure it wasn't surprising.
Like, I don't want to hear my mama.
Yeah, doing that.
Doing that. That's not funny.
No, no, no. It got to be the jokester friend.
Who's going to get socked in the eye? Like, you didn't have enough discretion not to play that? even if my dumb mother wanted you to play it, don't do that.
Just don't do
it. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they seem really cool with it. And, you know, we can move on, mm-hmm. on after this, but I do think it is a moral achievement to be able to laugh at a funeral.
I was about to say, it's rare to see that, because I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy funerals at all. And anything that makes you feel any bit of joy, or like it's a celebration rather than a mourning, usually helps.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah,
that is important.
But
anyway, do we still need these things on?
No, we don't. I can hear myself.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move on.
But, yeah, we're going to go to our Q&A. I actually really am starting to love this segment.
Now, what is this? These are questions?
Questions for
from
you,
from the
Doc.
Viewers?
Yep.
Okay.
From our viewers, our favorites.
Right there. Listen, I'm trying, people, okay? Y'all pray.
All right. First question. What's your stance on marriage? Do you think it's a thing of the past or still something important to our society?
What's my stance on marriage? That's like, okay, let me just deal with the question and not evaluate it. Because I was about to go over the whole thing.
Yeah, I can see.
I think marriage is great. Yeah. I think love is great. Romance is great. I don't have a particular kind of marriage that I think is more valid than any other.
Okay.
I'm all for people loving whoever they want to love. And whoever, love is so rare and so hard to find, that if you can find somebody who will love you and be committed to you and sacrifice for you and wake up in the morning and still think you're wonderful after you have disappointed them, broke their heart, lied to them, not done what you said you were going to do, and they still want to wake up next to you, I think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah,
I think, and this is just me talking, but I think if you can find anybody who will do that, you should take it. You know what I'm saying? Yo, I don't like gay marriage. I don't listen. Whoever you can find, who will do that, you better take them. So I affirm anyone who wants to be married. I don't think it's a thing of the past. Mm.
Do you think it's important to our society?
I mean, not important in terms of, yes, but not important in terms of the society is going to fall apart
without it
if people aren't married, or people aren't in traditional marriages between one man and one woman. I hope that's not what the question is trying to get.
No, it's just, what's your stance?
I don't have a stance. Yeah. The word stance is the thing that's bothering me, right? Because, words is my
opinion.
Thing.
What's your opinion? No opinion.
Get married if you want to be married. Love is wonderful. I don't think you're less human if you're not married.
Yeah.
I don't think a relationship that doesn't have a piece of paper is somehow invalid.
Yeah.
The goal is to love, is to be loved. Now, I'm into monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand polyamorous relationships for myself.
Yeah.
I don't mind if other people do it.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I always believe people can love multiple people, but that's me projecting personally, my own inability to understand.
Because there's people that experience all kind of things that you can't relate to because it's just not you.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not saying it's not true or not possible, but I'm just saying I have a blind spot when it comes to that. So I don't have a stance on marriage. Mm-hmm. I don't have an opinion on marriage. How about we stop talking about marriage, start talking about love, which is a lot more important.
You pretty much answered the second part of that question.
Which
I was about to ask, should families be started out of wedlock? But it sounds more so like, as long as the love is there.
What do you mean, should families be started? Who's this? I don't know.
We don't have names on here.
Okay, first of all, y'all, don't ask me these morally loaded questions. I mean, no, you can ask. Just don't expect me to trumpet or say what the party line is. Just because you know I'm a Christian and a former minister, don't think that I believe what most ministers and Christians believe, because I don't. So I'm gonna take the negative, mm-hmm. and then I'm gonna take the positive.
Okay.
So I'm gonna assume the questioner has a in my opinion, a negative connotation okay. about wedlock, to which I'm going to say, wasn't Jesus' ass born out of wedlock? Yes, he was. He had a very non-traditional family.
Yeah.
His daddy was not his daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? So what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
How about I was born out of wedlock?
Me too.
How in the world am I going to have a negative stance out of what produced me?
Yeah.
Right? Is it great to have a mom and a dad? Of course it's great, mm-hmm. depending on the mom and the dad.
I'm curious to know the percentage.
No. Let me finish my point.
Go ahead.
Depending on the mom and the dad.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you can have a numbnut as your father or a numbnut as your mama, and you're better off with just one of them. Don't think because there's a penis in the house that it automatically,
you know, everything is all good.
Translates into something wonderful. Depends on who's there. What's now, that? Hold your point. Don't forget your point. Let me take it positively.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I've learned that sometimes life hides creativity and greatness in pain and in struggle. And some of the people we admire would only be what they are because they were born into what they were born to. Mm. If they had been born into the Cosby family, they wouldn't be as great as they are.
Yeah.
It was the struggle that made them ultimately as powerful as they became. So sometimes you have to be born in difficult places to achieve extraordinary things, because life hides greatness sometimes in pain and in struggle. So, but you were gonna make a point.
That's absolutely true. You can't make a point like that and then expect me to go back to what I was.
What? Was it gonna be something silly?
No, what? That was just, you'd be having me go off on all of these, you know, different trains of thoughts when you drop gems like that, so I gotta.
Yeah, people kill me with the whole, but I kind of get what people are saying. You know, a lot of children are affected by not having two parents. I totally understand
that. But some are better off without it too.
Exactly, and it depends on the kid, it depends on the parent.
For sure.
But here's what I believe. Mm-hmm. People ask me what I believe.
Yeah.
Here's what I believe. That sometimes the one who created us ultimately can take wherever we are and squeeze something good out of it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What did Tupac say? A rose can still
from the concrete.
Come on. It can still grow from the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
All it needs is just a little space and a speck of dirt, some sunshine, and one drop of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
You're right.
And something special can happen.
Yep. Every time. And now you just got to give it the opportunity and the environment.
That's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the rose has to believe in itself. So don't ask me about wedlock or parents or marriage.
Yeah.
Let me talk to the rose.
Yeah. And I remember.
Wait
my
a
minute!
I'm about to throw my shoe.
Yeah, yeah. That was definitely.
Let me talk to the rose, Doc.
Damn near a mic drop.
Let me talk to the rose. All right.
If this mic wasn't hanging here, you'd have had to drop it.
Yeah, man.
You'd have had to drop
that's
it.
That's where the magic is.
Yeah, it is.
It's much more magical to be able to tell somebody,
mm-hmm.
I was born to a mother with a fourth grade education, raised me by herself. And I'm walking around with a PhD.
And you don't even have to explain certain things about you. It speaks volumes.
Let me talk to the rose.
Come on, talk to the rose.
I ain't worried about who put it there.
Talk to the rose. Do you have any idea of what the percentage of people born through marriages versus not? I feel like more people would be born out of.
Racially,
it varies.
It varies racially. I don't know.
I'm just curious. I've never thought about that before in my life.
I mean, Tyler can look it up.
Because I'm just wondering if majority of people are dealing with the same thing, or if majority of, or the minority.
40%
for about 40%. Yeah, it's been pretty steady for the last 10 years.
Wow.
40%.
And that's overall. So it's almost half.
That's crazy.
So
does that surprise you?
No.
No, okay.
No. It doesn't surprise me at all.
I don't know how I feel about it.
But you know why it doesn't surprise me? Because we have romanticized what we think the scenario should be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people have gotten married for reasons that they should have never gotten married for. People get married because they have somebody's pregnant. There ain't any reason to marry nobody. People get married because they were hoping to get consistent sex. Ask the people who are married about how inconsistent the sex becomes. People are married for security.
Yeah.
No, let's go further.
For real.
You ready? Mm-hmm. So women use sex to get emotion, mm-hmm. and men are using emotion to get sex, and then we wrap it in a marriage.
Like a burrito.
Right? Like a burrito. Best thing I heard all day. We wrap it like a burrito in a marriage and think it's going to work out, but nobody was being honest. So how's that going to work out? Right? Mm-hmm. So insecurity hooks up with control.
It makes a controlled, insecure burrito.
And then they have a baby, and we go, oh, look at them. They're so perfect, man and a woman.
And control it and insecure. Right?
And they control it and insecuring each other to death. Could have never gotten married. And let me go further. And it wasn't their fault.
No.
Because nobody teaches us how to love.
Nobody
teaches us. You never had a class on how to be in a relationship.
No.
You never had a class on honesty.
No.
You never had a class as a man or a woman that taught us how to be honest and accountable in a relationship. Nobody ever taught you that. So we expect you to be good at it and do it for the rest of your life.
Exactly. That reminds me of something else. It's like our education system as a whole. Because I don't understand.
Who should
how we're supposed to know how to do taxes and start businesses and, you know, all of the things we're required to do as adults without that being in the curriculum.
That's a whole other thing which we'll come to. Because when we talk about TikTok, I have something to say about that.
Okay.
But because we always talk about TikTok on
the show. Yeah, we do at some point.
But let's stay here, though.
Yeah.
Let's stay here, though, because I feel like we're helping people.
We are.
You know, I think people really need to understand that it's great if you have the idealized or the romanticized version of your life.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not knocking that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my best friends growing up, Lee Stone, had his mom and his dad. I only had my mom. They live right next door to me.
Yeah.
Lee had a great life.
Yeah, that's like me and Juice.
He had a great life. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Trudy and Harvey Stone treated me like I was one of their sons.
Yeah.
Right? They had a library downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
They introduced me to books.
Yeah. They were part of your village.
Oh, listen.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking that at all.
No.
I was a kid, so I don't know what...
What was going on.
I don't know what was going on with the marriage.
But you know that they
But
have
from what I saw, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that before we get to asking people to give us a determination about a standard, maybe we should question where the standard comes from.
Absolutely.
And who gave it to us.
And I was a sociology minor, so that was a lot of what I got to kind of take a peek at through a lot of the classes that we had and how society impacts certain cultures based off of the way that they traditionally do things. And to see how that impact varied from culture to culture was kind of fascinating for me because I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm starting to understand people even more and starting to have grace and give them space because I'm like, oh, they're nothing, you know, like the people that are from where I may be familiar with. Therefore, I need to give people space because I might learn something new. And I did. I learned from so many different cultures because of that reason. And it's actually, you know, kind of crazy to me to just think about all of it now because you're bringing up so many points that just got me thinking about
my whole childhood. Let me ask you this.
I remember.
Because you're kind of veering. You veer.
Yeah, but you got me
No, hold on.
Reminiscing. That's why.
Let me pull you back over here. Do you feel like you lost something or you missed something indispensable because you didn't grow up in a traditional family situation?
No, but I do feel like the reason why was because my mom did more than I feel like any two parents could have because she had to.
Mm-hmm.
And she refused to accept anything less for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that same process would have been with the same results, you know, had it been a traditional household, because I remember when I first started to see like what that even looked like. I mean, growing up until I was probably 7 years old, I never saw a married couple do anything healthily around me before. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not really in my family at all, not really close friends. You know, we was in the hood, wasn't nobody really married.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to the suburbs and I started to see families that were traditional and that had generations of, you know, marriages and things like that. it opened up my eyes in a way that made me have to reflect on my situation.
And when you reflected, what did you determine?
I determined that even though I was one of the only ones now that was in the position that I had been used to everybody being in, mm-hmm. I didn't look at myself as any less because I saw what my mom did for me in comparison to what the other parents felt like they didn't have to do because they had each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the kids were missed in different ways, but also it has its, you know, advantages and disadvantages.
So you felt as if, in spite of what you saw in other mm-hmm. places, what you had was sufficient for who you needed to be.
Absolutely.
So let me make this point. I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. Because I believe, people can disagree, this is just my belief. Mm-hmm. If you needed it, God would have given it to you. Mm-hmm. But you didn't need it. You may have wanted it. It may have been a better mm-hmm. version of whatever. Mm-hmm. But somebody bigger than you and me knew that we could exist and do well without right. it. Mm-hmm. So here's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. This is why most people don't know what they want. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know what they want because they're only trying to get what they never had. So they're chasing after what they missed.
Mm-hmm. When it's already passed.
When if you needed it, you would have gotten it.
And you would have it.
Stop going after what you missed. And go after what you really want. At this stage of your life, based mm-hmm. upon who you are, go after what you want.
Yeah.
And let what you missed go. I'm not chasing after no damn father. You know how crazy I would be at my age mm-hmm. to be chasing to have daddy issues?
And I didn't chase after mine. My mother always made me aware of how much my dad loved me, even if he wasn't there. And because of that, opened the door for him to come back in my life when I was 18, which changed the last 12 years of me and his relationship before he passed. And because she didn't shut that door, it didn't leave a hole in me that was there for a while. And I'm eternally, I would never be able to repay her for that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but let me say this. Your father entering your life at 18 mm-hmm. probably had a different effect than your father entering your life at 9.
Oh, for sure. That was when he left it.
Depending on who he was mm-hmm. when you were 12 and 15 and 14, right? Mm-hmm. You can handle him at 18
yeah.
in a way that you could not have handled him at 14. And I just wish people would just trust God.
Yeah.
I know this ain't a religious show, but the hell with it. I just wish people would trust
God.
Whatever you call it. The universe, love, fate, whatever.
I'm a
trust it. Trust it. Yeah. Al Sharpton is a good friend of mine. Shout out to the Rev, by
Shout
the way.
Shout out Rev.
Rev,
man.
Come on this show, bud. We're gonna talk about you coming on the show.
That's my hero.
But Rev Sharpton. Rev says something all the time that's so powerful, and it's appropriate for this moment. He says, if you believe in God, he says, here God done made, this is how he said, done made.
Done made.
Here God done made the grass, the rain, the mm-hmm. snow, the mountains, the billy goats.
Yeah.
All of it's perfect,
mm-hmm.
right? Everything has the seasons, everything. He says, and now you believe, the proverbial you, that the one mistake God made was you. Come on, Sharpton.
I love that.
I wish I had come up with it. I got to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's good.
He's like the creator done made everything. No slow fake is the same. Every gust of wind is different. But you think the one mistake he made was your life.
That's crazy.
And the points Rev making that I'm making, it don't work like that. It's all in order. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful symmetry to it all.
And anytime we give someone wisdom, in a nutshell, that's what we're trying to explain to them. I just had a conversation last night where I wish I'd do this sooner because I would have just said this and left it at that. It wouldn't have been an hour-long conversation.
You should have called me, bro. You should have called me, brother. I'd have helped you. Call me, people.
I needed that one.
This is what I do. I could have helped him. I could have said, I could have taken you 45 minutes of your life.
Oh, man, you could. But he needed it, so I'm not mad. But that is gold. Gold.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Do you have any childhood friends? I feel like most friendships don't survive into adulthood.
Oh, great question. Very few. First of all, I'm terrible at keeping people.
Yeah.
did I admit this on the show before?
Yeah.
I listen, I don't keep people well.
Yeah.
I just don't. And I know the reasons why, some of which I'm not willing to name on this show. Mm-hmm. But I'm terrible at keeping people. I just did a wedding. Mm-hmm. Of friends of mine that I grew up with in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, Ted and Steve, mm-hmm. and Johnny and Andre and blah, all, the whole crew. And we grew up together.
Yeah.
On around the block, we played baseball when we were real young,
yeah.
Played basketball, we did football, all of it. But I don't talk to them every day.
No.
I don't talk to them every week.
Yeah.
None of my best friends in high school, college, neighborhood do I consistently speak to now. Now, when we see each other, we pick right up where we left off.
I'm the same way.
There's no problem between us.
Yeah.
I'm just not the kind of person that just keeps going.
Yeah,
I'm just not good at that.
Yeah, and it's also a two-way street, though. And one of the things...
That's what I found.
Yeah, I've learned over my years, the most impressive thing about relationships to me, it's not the ability to... You can make a relationship with anybody, the homeless guy on the street, the president, anybody. It's keeping relationships. A lot of people struggle with that, not because it affects all of us differently. Everybody doesn't need to hold on to them. Some people need that for themselves. Some people don't. But it is a two-way street, and I realized I'm really good at it because I don't mind going back sometimes just to check, you know, and this and that, because if someone crosses my mind, I've gotten into the habit of being like, I feel like that's for a reason. Let me reach out and at least, you know, send them my blessings, send them some love, if that's how I feel about that person.
You're a better human being than me. And let me tell you why.
That's just where I'm at now.
At a certain point, my pattern is I tend to be more into a relationship than the other person. Mm. So I tend to be more into friendships.
Yeah.
And more. Now, remember, I'm an abandoned child.
Yeah.
So relationships are important to me.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, my abandonment issues kick in.
Yeah.
And I start thinking and saying to myself, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You don't really like me.
Something don't feel right.
Like you're not really connected to me. Mm-hmm. No problem. I know how to do this.
To the left.
This is the one thing I know how to do. And that has served me, and it has undermined me. Mm-hmm. Mm. But in my perception, in my like warped, abandoned childhood mind, if it's not genuine reciprocity.
And that's what I mean.
I'm done after a while. Yeah. Now, I can play along for a while.
Mm-hmm. But...
And when I do it, I'm saying, hey, I like you. I'm cool with you. Let's
meet me halfway.
Yeah, you know. And if you don't,
you're gonna take that back, and they'll
Dr. Sean will forget your mama ever had you.
Yeah. because it's a privilege for people to have you in their lives. And as long as you believe that about yourself, you will be able to have that ability.
Yeah, I would love to celebrate it, but I don't even know if what I do is a good thing.
It's who can judge
it. Some people might. I don't even know. I'm saying the reality, it's mm-hmm. more to your point, that I wished I was connected to more people who understood reciprocity.
Exactly. That's what it is.
List of people that I just named.
Mm-hmm. Understand.
No.
Oh, you're talking, not.
You see, list of people that I just named that I was friends with.
Oh, okay.
I'm still cool. We still love. Mm-hmm. We're brothers and all that. But they don't practice reciprocity.
Oh, no. Okay.
Which is why we don't talk.
As often, yeah. Okay.
I'm not doing all the damn calls.
Yeah. Me neither.
I don't know. You pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. I have someone who genuinely thinks it's my job to call them. Aaron, you ever had this?
Definitely.
Definitely, right? Tyler, you?
Oh, my God, yes.
They think mm-hmm. it's my job. Like, yeah. Whenever we talk, I said, like, why do I do that? They genuinely think if I don't call, then.
You're just never gonna speak ever again.
So, you know what I did?
Delete their number.
No, I just stopped calling.
Oh. Yeah. No. See how long it go before y'all
I can show
again.
You better than I can tell you.
No, for sure.
First, I'm going to say to you, hey, you know, how come you don't call? And then I'm going to say to you again, you know your phone works, right?
Yeah.
And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop calling you. And you get to make a decision.
Because if you want me in your life bad enough, you'll give me a call.
Listen, I'm no. You ain't that cute no way. You know how fine you got to be for me to keep calling you? You got to be sexy. I mean, just
sexy, sexy.
Let me not. I'm trying to be saved on this show.
You know what? Let's go to our break before.
Let's go to break before I lose all my salvation. You got to be sexy. Break.
On that note.
Want the best of Maury? Kevin, you are not.
Want the best of the Steve Wilkos show? Would you take Dave back if he left Katie?
Want the best of Jerry Springer?
Just download Nosy on your mobile device or stream it on Pluto TV, Samsung TV, or the Roku channel. Until next time, America.
All right, we are back, and we got another video, Doc. I'm going to preface this, all right? Has anything so simple ever made you this happy?
Confused.
Has anything that simple ever made you that happy before?
But let's get to that in a sec. What were they cheering about?
They were changing the sign from Saturday to Sunday. It must be past midnight. They clearly are lit. But they said that that was the highlight of the trip was when they changed that.
What do you think my face is saying?
White people.
Yeah, what that is. That's one of the dumbest videos. Like that was.
So you would have scrolled past that on TikTok, and so you wouldn't even have noticed it, huh?
It would never come up.
You would have been
feed.
Looking at it like, "What did I just?" You would have, it wouldn't even have crossed your mind.
I wouldn't have been on it long enough to know.
I know.
Okay. That's so dead. I mean, it's great to celebrate the mundane, yeah. Simple, but
I find simple pleasures in life. Like that, but that was a bit much.
No, I love the principle of the video. Yeah. I just don't like the fact that people nowadays, they're just doing too much.
Cheering and all.
That's just doing too much. We didn't need to see a video. If you're genuinely happy, why did you record it?
Yeah, because they probably did it every night of the cruise.
I mean, come
imagine
on.
The workers doing every night, just like, oh.
Every time they open the elevator, they got a crowd full of people going crazy for them to do their job.
And why are they changing? Like, people don't know what day of the week it is?
I guess they probably just do that on the cruise, so.
That was a cruise?
Yeah, it was a cruise.
How did you know that?
That's what it said in the video. It said the highlight of our cruise.
Tripping. But somebody changing the damn sign on the floor of the elevator? That's the highlight of the cruise? You get your money back.
Where was that cruise to? But wait, have you ever
Finland.
Been on a cruise before? I was about to say another city.
This is white people on the elevator acting crazy.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
No.
Never?
No, I ain't been on no cruise.
Why you say it like that?
Because I don't trust the ocean.
New York people don't like cruises.
I'm like, mm-mm, no.
Really? Actually surprising to me.
And I learned how
I
to.
I think you probably love a cruise.
I taught myself how to swim when I turned 40. So I can,
Hold your own.
I can't tread water.
That's going to be important if you fall off.
No, I just start swimming.
Okay.
Forever.
What are you swimming to?
I'm not good at treading water, but if I can move, you know what I'm saying?
Then you're good.
Then I'm good.
You just got to keep moving.
I just got to keep moving.
I'm the exact same way. I can't tread, but I can swim.
Yeah.
I'll sink.
Thank you.
So basically, y'all like puppies. y'all stop moving the legs, I just y'all can't sink to the bottom.
The moment I stop, it's over for me. Aaron, my brother, we
that
just
used to be me before I really learned how to swim, I feel like. I used to just doggy paddle my ass off. I can say ass. I can doggy paddle your face. I thought I cussed that while you were.
What is happening? Okay. Congratulations.
Because I stay getting in trouble for saying stuff. But when I was younger and before I could swim, I knew that if I doggy paddled hard enough, I would just stay above water. So this is before I even knew how to swim or tread water. And that was my method of swimming for like half of my life before I learned.
Until you learned how to swim.
Yeah, and now, treading water ain't that hard though. I feel like you could do it, especially with the way that you be, with your calf muscles and the way you be on them treadmills and ellipticals, you could tread some water.
Okay.
You could do it.
Well, I would go on a cruise now is my point.
I think you would love it at this point in your life,
probably. It's like unlimited food, right?
Unlimited everything.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know what? Can you smoke a cigar on a cruise?
Absolutely.
On the deck.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They got cigar rooms.
You can sit
Aaron
in the middle of the ocean smoking cigars for days.
When we get season two of this show.
That season two bonus.
Wink, wink. To the people who are watching, who make those decisions.
Y'all can come too.
We are going on a cruise, bro.
I'm there.
Okay.
Where would you want to go?
It doesn't matter. Just go out.
You don't want to go to Alaska or somewhere cold in the winter. Oh, yeah, that's true. You know?
I thought cruises just go out to the ocean and then they come back.
Oh, no, you go like a cruise to the Bahamas. You can take a cruise to South America. You could take a cruise to Hawaii. You could take one to anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They got a cruise now that people can live on that goes around the world for like the entire, it hits almost every country.
Really?
And you get off, and some people are literally living,
I would do that when I get old. Like when I get 70.
Yeah.
I would just like, just,
like,
yeah.
Like, F it. I want to go see it all.
Yeah. I don't have to be home.
Yeah.
I'm not doing nothing.
Like that, it's dope that they got that because they just stock up everywhere they go, more and more. And so you'll get food from all over the world, different, places and things.
Okay, like that's that. Why, then I can't go.
Actually, the next story goes right into it.
It goes into something like that? Oh, that's crazy. Saying, I didn't move even on. Know that. Look at him. We got the red light people. Hold on.
What are these dumb headphones on, too?
You can take them off.
These dumb headphones. He sounded like a kid, didn't he? These dumb headphones. Stupid headphones. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
So how ironic is this story? Ties into exactly what I was talking about. That's wild. So according to the Unilad, a man lives on a cruise ship for 300 days a year because his bills are cheaper than renting. I was literally about to say this. A man has taken an unusual approach to both living and working.
Scary that Tyler can tap into your mind.
That was wild.
I'm not sure how you should feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, hey. I'm going to give God
Tyler's
the credit.
Tyler's a weirdo.
I'm going to give God the credit on that
tapping
one.
Into your mind. Go ahead.
I don't think Tyler saw this coming. A man has taken an unusual approach to both living and working by spending approximately 300 days a year on cruise ships. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like he's doing multiple. Realizing the potential of remote work, he opted to experiment with working from the seas. So obviously you have Wi-Fi. The cost of living on a cruise ship for a substantial portion of the year turned out to be quite comparable to what he was spending on an apartment and associated bills, including Wi-Fi and drinks. Beyond the cost-saving aspect, the man highlighted the significant social benefits of this lifestyle. Working from home has led to a sense of isolation for him, But Cruise Ship Living says, he says it brought him a vibrant social dimension. He's meeting a bunch of new people, obviously. He's constantly socializing. And, you know, he talks about how he developed more creative thinking and adapted to opening up unconventional paths to achieving, you know, work.
I heard there's a lot of sex on cruise ships.
Yeah, there is. But there's also a lot of young people, old people. It don't really, you know.
That's why he's doing it.
There's different types of cruises, though.
This guy's having sex all over the world.
Probably.
Hey.
Hey, look, with a view.
with a view, right, of the ocean. But, you know, here's the problem with being human. You get used to it.
Yeah.
The problem with being human is that you get used to the view.
People just be trying to switch up the view sometimes.
You get used to that.
Yeah.
That's the worst. That's what's the worst thing about us is that we accommodate
we
so
get
quickly.
Used to stuff.
And then it stops being full of awe and wonder.
That's why things change so quickly. And it's moving faster than ever these days. Technology has sped that up a lot. Our attention spans have almost gotten down to, I mean, shoot. When I was in college in Vine,
what
first
did you just
thing,
say?
I said shoot.
He said
I
shoot.
Was about to say the other word. So,
give me the short version of the story.
No, when I was in college, when the Vine application came out, they were 6-second videos. And that was when I first realized, like, people's attention spans are that short that they are, like, over the moon about these 6-second videos and couldn't get enough of them. I'm talking about Aaron. You remember when Vine first came out?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was watching Vines Definitely. All day, every day.
Not everybody, son.
Except for Doc.
Not everybody. I was not watching Vine.
It was the TikTok
day.
Of his time, so you would have been.
No, I was not. I didn't have a Vine.
I know you didn't.
I didn't have Vine. I had Facebook.
You wasn't introduced into your social media phase.
And no, I had Facebook and Twitter.
That's
back then,
the
I had Twitter.
It's not the same.
I don't even have Twitter now.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah,
but back to the story, because I don't know where the hell you're going.
I was telling you people's
attention spans are short. I got it. Thank you for that deposit in my life.
But it was like a huge thing, though. Like, Aaron can vouch for that. Like, I'm talking about everybody
Are you mourning?
No, I'm not mourning. It was just surprising to me that people could be that amazed with six seconds. Like, that entertained all day.
You sure you're not mourning?
No, I'm not mourning. I do way better. I got a movie that just came out, actually, too. So it's a lot better than them Vine days.
When you look down and then you postured the way you did, it's a very deflecting posture you just took.
It was deflecting?
Yeah.
No, it was more of like sitting in my greatness.
All right.
Okay. Is this the end of the show?
Yeah.
Thank
it is.
You,
That's
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Just letting us roll on to the
finish
line.
Thank you, Lord. Show's over. All right, everybody.
Crescendo.
We kind of went off the rails at the end, but we did well for most of this show, staying focused. All right? He had a moment where he kind of regressed into some mourning.
I was not mourning.
He had millions of followers on Vine.
I was mourning.
He's lamenting that, whether he admits it or not. But he does have a movie coming out. What's the name of the movie?
The List.
The List.
You can find it on Apple TV, Amazon Prime. It's a rom-com.
All right. So watch it. I have no movies coming out. I just love you anyway. We'll see you next time.
Content on Macmillan and Morrow is provided as commentary on news and current events for entertainment purposes.